Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Today, the focus of this third Advent celebration is a focus on joy, even amid the sorrows of the world. I'll point out the angel banner, angels representing joy in the service. And obviously, we'd like to thank the Blazer Choir. They'll introduce themselves a little later on today. And it doesn't really seem like Christmas with the weather we're having, but I understand the weathermen promise us cold weather tomorrow again, so back to winter. If you'd like to turn in your bulletin, right after the 17th announcement is the call to worship, so take some time to find it. Can you hear? I'm hearing some... Yeah, it's on. Thank you. I think you already have the call to worship in front of you, so read the bold parts, please. Come, let us worship in faith the ever-present God who longs for our worship. Redeeming God, work in our hearts that our worship is filled with a joy that comes from delighting in your splendor. Show us your joy, O Lord. We celebrate the year of the Lord's favor, the time of comfort for those who mourn, when there will be crowns instead of ashes, joyful anointing instead of mourning, jubilant praise instead of spirits of despair, renewed hearts instead of brokenness. The Lord will wrap us in robes of righteousness and clothe us in garments of salvation. Amen. Now we'll sing our seasonal song, Hope is a Candle, verses 1, 4, and 7, and Janet will lead us. Thank you, ladies, for lighting the candle. The scripture reading today comes from Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 14. It's in your bulletins if you'd like to follow along. And it's about angels. That night in the fields near Bethlehem, some shepherds were guarding their sheep. All at once, an angel came down to them from the Lord, and the brightness of the Lord's glory flashed around them. The shepherds were frightened, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you, which will make everyone happy. This very day in King David's hometown, a Savior was born for you. He is Christ the Lord. You will know him, who he is, because you will find him dressed as a baby, clothed and lying in a bed of hay." Suddenly, many other angels came down from heaven and joined in praising God. They said, "Praise God in heaven, peace on earth to everyone who pleases God."
Angelica, you say you're my son's girlfriend?
Yes, we've been dating for around 6 months.
Well, I'm honored to be meeting you, but why are you here? Has he got you in some kind of trouble?
No, it's nothing like that.
Then has he sent you here?
No, he doesn't know I'm here, but I want to meet you.
How is he doing?
Well, to be honest, he's pretty upset about how things ended last Christmas. He says he's losing sleep. It's getting him pretty down.
Trust me, I know the feeling. I don't think I've had a good night of sleep since he left. We handled things poorly. If I had a chance to talk to him again, I would tell him I'm sorry for what went wrong.
I'm sure there are things he's sorry for about, too.
Please tell him he's welcome to come home. No questions asked.
I'll make sure he knows that.
Thanks. Now, would you like to see some pictures of Mike as a boy?
Yes, I would very much like to see that.
If you'd grab your hymnals once more, or I guess for the first time, we haven't sung from them yet. Number 201 in the blue, 201, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And you'll have to sing loud because I don't have a voice today, so. Why don't we stand again, if you're able to, and let's sing about our angels.
Grade 3 to 5 and junior youth kids will be leaving for program rehearsal now, I believe, if there are any left in the sanctuary. And I wanted to take a moment to thank Elizabeth, Phil, and Astrid for their drama. I know that stop-motion stuff can take a very long time. For every minute, I'm sure it takes a couple of hours to produce. A warm welcome again to everyone this third Sunday of Advent. Does anyone have any visitors who'd like to be introduced? Very welcome. Obviously, there are many announcements in the bulletin that and peruse them for any that are pertinent to you, but I will highlight a few of them. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Deanna and Harry Neufeld and the extended family and friends on the death of Deanna's mother, Tina Neustadter, on December 9th. Funeral services will be held at our church 11 a.m. Tuesday, December 16th. Condolences also go out to Peter and Hilda Sawatsky and Herman and Elsa Sawatsky and their families and friends on the passing of Peter and Herman's sister, Maria Gunter. She passed on December 11th. The funeral arrangements were pending at the time of the announcement or the bulletin, but we've been informed that they will be held Tuesday, December 16th at 11 a.m. at Charleswood Mennonite Church. Also, please remember to keep Martha Reimer in your prayers as she battles cancer. That's their sister. We obviously extend our sympathies to the families. Please keep these and all the grieving families in your thoughts and prayers at this Christmas time, as we've had quite a few deaths over the last few weeks. For those in hospital, Henry Peters is at Concordia, and Susanna Harder remains at Deer Lodge Hospital. At home, we have Anna Funk-Gunter and Will Braun. There's a few additional ones that did not make it into the bulletin. Elsa Peters is scheduled for hip surgery on Wednesday. Please think of her as she prepares for the surgery. In addition, we received word from Alana Pauls. As we mentioned last week, her son Cody had a bad head injury. Thankfully, he is now home, but he has a long road of recovery ahead. The family appreciates the prayers and asks that we continue to remember them and specifically Cody in our prayers. Cody is the grandson to Art and Irene Dick. Let us also remember to pray for our members in extended care and personal care homes and also for those who are sick at home. There's a list of them in our bulletin. And I think an additional announcement, it was emailed to me, and Carol, tell me if I'm wrong here. The choir sings at 12:30 next week after church, not at 1 o'clock. So bring your lunches, and we'll sing right after church. And before we get into sharing time, the Blazer Choir are going to be introduced to us.
Hello, everyone. Paul here. I'd like to introduce the Blazer Choir. We practice every Monday night at Springfield Heights Mennonite Church, just down the street. So I'll see if I can introduce all of our members. We've got Ben, Tanya, Jalaika, Michelle, who is our fearless leader, Heidi, and Kate. And then in the back row, we've got Kim, Nina, Kevin, Kyle, Courtney, Tiff, and Deanna. And I think we also have a few parents who've come to join us today to support the band, and I extend welcome to you. And of course, the usual plug: we are always accepting new people. We're always looking for more people to swell our ranks. So after Christmas, we're recruiting still.
I think I got a couple of kids in a band. So maybe I'll send them your way. Anyone for sharing? We have a roving mic at the back there. Go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Oh, it doesn't seem like it's really on. Anyways, you can hear me regardless. So, it says it's on, but it's not. My friend Steve Bell will be performing here for our Sunday service and on January the 18th. That service is going to start at 10:30, and for half an hour of just Steve, and then he's going to be with us during the entire sermon and with Christine Longhurst. So that's going to be a very, very exciting Sunday for Oatnet. All Sundays should be exciting for us, but this is going to be even more exciting, and I'm looking forward to it because, as most of you know, Steve is an incredible Christian talent, and he's been a Christian artist for the last 25 years. So it's going to be great.
Thank you, Charles. Anyone else? All right, if not, then thank you. Can we bow for a word of prayer, please? Heavenly Father, as we once again prepare for Christmas, help us to find time in our busy lives for quiet thought and prayer, that we may reflect upon the wonder of your love. Help us to pause and allow the story of the Savior's birth penetrate our hearts and our minds. May our joy be deeper, our worship more real, and our lives worthier of all you have done for us through the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray for the wider Christian family who will be celebrating this Christmas in so many different ways, and for those who dare not celebrate openly. Grant that all who come to our church this Christmas may be enabled to renew their relationship with you. Help us all to be glad of your presence and to rejoice at the coming of Jesus. Give us peace, give peace to the victims of war in this troubled world, the refugees, the widowed, the orphans in the war zones of the Middle East and elsewhere, for many in our church know what it is to be refugees. Give peace to families and friends, to those who have quarreled and need to be reconciled. Give peace in our own divided hearts. Your Son came as a Prince of Peace and brought a message of peace for all people. Help us to be peacemakers in our own homes, our work, or wherever we meet people, so that the peace and goodwill of Christmas can find a place in the hearts of everyone. We pray for homeless people. Let your blessing be with those who work to help the homeless this Christmas, and give to all of us the determination to help where we can. We pray for people who are lonely or grieving. Let your presence be with those who are alone or sad in this season of joy and friendship. Help us take your friendship to those we know will be alone this Christmas. We pray for friends, family, and those in the congregation who are ill at this time. Help us remember them in the quietness of our hearts. We bring them to you in the confidence that you love them and know their every need, and that your healing power is still the same today as it was at the time of Christ. Bless all that is being done for their recovery and answer our prayers as you see best. Merciful Father, we are your people and we long to follow you. Accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now we'll have some music from the Blazer Choir for the offering.
We're going to join the Blazer Choir for two verses of O Come All Ye Faithful, which is 212 if you need the words, 212 in your blue hymnal. So we'll sing verses 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Blazer Choir. Can we give them a round of applause? Oh, and they're going to go down. That makes sense. The second scripture reading is from Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3, and verse 10 to 11. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all those who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and of the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adores his head like a priest, and as a bride adores herself with jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations.
Really enjoyed the chorus, the band this morning. If you closed your eyes, it sounded like the wind section of WSO, didn't it? It was great. Thanks so much. During Advent, we've been looking at the theme, waiting for Christmas. And I know that sounds a little trite at the outset, but what we're talking about is not just waiting, putting it on our calendar. We've been talking about waiting like with the expectation of a child. Waiting for Christmas, expecting that this year, somehow, God is going to come and meet us as individuals, us as a church, as a community, as a world, in a new way, and make a difference, like he did 2,000 years ago. And so each Sunday we go in looking at one of the aspects of, I'm going to knock something over here yet, looking at one of the aspects of Advent, and we've looked so far, as you can see from the streamers, if you can see them at the front, at hope and peace, and today we want to look at joy. Let's take a moment to pray before we take a look at this passages this morning. Thank you, God, for the way that you not only came, but you continue to come to touch our lives, to give us hope and peace, to fill us with joy. May we, like the shepherds, be open to receive that message today. Amen. For those of you who are regulars here, you'll remember that 4 weeks ago, we took a look at happiness. At what happiness is. And we looked at the discipline of positive psychology for some language in this. Positive psychology basically says you don't find happiness, you create it. So for those who are looking for happiness, it's a pointless search because you're never going to find it. And we looked at five things that we can do to work at that. One of them is use your strengths, or we adapted that to say use your gifts. You got to plug in. Second one was gratitude. Be grateful. And we talked about keeping a journal of all the good things that happened in your life so that at the end of the day, you remember the good things and not the negative. Savor. Just love that word as we think about life. Just sort of soak it in. Take time to smell the roses. See all the good things and enjoy them as you go through the day. Engage. That's the next one. Engage. Don't be end-driven. Like, we got to get this done, and we often are that way during this season of the year. You've got a calendar with all your appointments on there and all the family gatherings and all the concerts you've got to go to, and you're ticking them off and say, oh, January, please come. Enjoy the moment. Engage where you are. And finally, we talked about how we need to help other people. Invest in other people. Get out there and do things. And those things will make us happier. And they do. So today I want to tell you that I was all wrong, and we're going to try that again. No, I'm kidding. We want to talk about the foundation of happiness, because the message that we hear today is that God brings something that allows us to be people of joy, that allows us to build on that foundation. So the story today, we start with shepherds. And as we mentioned before, shepherds were sort of at the bottom of the social ladder. They couldn't observe all the rituals that everybody was supposed to, and so everybody looked down on them, and they were kind of stinky shepherds. There they were off in the field. Who cares? Get out there. So they're out in the field, and doing whatever shepherds do, sitting around the fire drinking mate, and all of a sudden, 10,000-watt light shining on them, and this angel saying, "Fear not." God, I hate when people do that. It's like going to the dentist, and you see the dentist coming with this big needle saying, "It won't hurt, don't worry." Or you're going to university, and the prof hands out a syllabus 15 pages long. Yeah, this should be a manageable course. Look at the reading list. Anyhow, fear not. And then look at the message of the angels. I bring you good news of great joy, which is for everybody. For down in Bethlehem right now, a Savior is born who is Christ the Lord. Okay, back that up a little bit. Good news of great joy. What's the great joy? For unto you is born a Savior. Salvation. Who is Christ, which is the Messiah, the one you've been waiting for thousands of years. The Lord, the same word that's used to describe God, the Creator, the one who brought them out of Egypt, gave them the promised land, all these good things they have. That person, that God, is down there in Bethlehem bringing them salvation. And that is the source of their joy. So, all we have to answer is, what's salvation? Well, most of you have been to Sunday school, asking Jesus into your heart. Okay, where are we here with that? What is salvation? People have struggled for, it's the most simple question and the most complicated question ever. And for 2,000 years, people have been asking the question, what is salvation? And there's three basic theories about that. And I mention that because for me, it's helpful to just kind of mention them. And they give you three lights to shine on the same thing to help understand. So bear with me. And if any of you are theologians here, plug your ears. It's going to grate a little bit. I'm taking some liberties. So the first theory of salvation says that basically we're addicted to sin. We're addicted to being greedy and self-centered and being lustful and looking for power and all the seven deadly sins and a few more. That's us. And it's got its hooks into us, and we can't get free of that. Now, an interesting thing about these three theories of salvation is they all show up in the story of the prodigal son. Remember the story? Farm guy has two kids. One of them's a rotten brat. Asks for half his money, takes off, wastes it, goes live with the pigs. And so what we see in this story is we see a guy who, this young son, who's willing to throw away his relationship with his dad and his brother and any other relatives that you have around there, throw away his future. The farm is there. Supposedly, it's doing okay. That's his future. Out the window because he wants to party. He wants to have things he could never have at home. He's going to go off and buy himself an iPhone 6, the big one. And you know what happens? Everything falls apart. Salvation, this theory goes on to say, is when we come to, when Jesus comes and through his death and resurrection frees us from the power of all this garbage that holds on to us, the sin that holds on to us. And so you've got the prodigal son sitting in the pig pen saying, you know what? Everything I wanted, I wasn't happy at home before. I wasn't happy partying in the city. I'm not that happy sitting and eating pig food, although I'm probably more nutritious than McDonald's. I'm not happy. And so finally he comes to the point of letting go. That's theory one. Number two, the second theory is the theory that says that when we sin, we bring something into our lives that God can't tolerate, and a wall goes up between us and God. And so there's a distinction there. There's a distance. And what salvation does, what Jesus does, is he comes and brings forgiveness for that. And he comes into our lives and says, we're going to forgive you for what you've done, and we're going to start again. And the wall comes down. The prodigal son coming back to the father is not sure what he's going to get. Maybe the father's going to kill him. He had the legal right in those days to do that. Maybe he's going to say, you are a horrible brat, go away. He doesn't know what he's going to get. What does he get coming in the door? Forgiveness. And forgiveness reestablishes relationship. That's salvation. The third part of salvation, the third theory, says that what we find in salvation is a renewed vision of what it means to be created in the image of God. Who are we? We have forgotten. We're running around living something that we aren't. So the prodigal son, he says, I used to be a son, but what am I now? I'll settle for being a terrible slave who gets kicked around. So he goes back to talk to his father, and he's coming in, and he opens his mouth and he starts saying, Dad, I'm not worth anything. And his dad says, enough. You're my son. You're my son. And we walk into that. He walked back into that role and he becomes a child again. And the father says, you know what a son deserves? Party. We're going to have a party. Kill the fatted calf. Let's go invite all of our friends. Finally, we're back together again. Isn't that a wonderful picture? And that's what salvation does for us as well. It reminds us who we are. It reminds us that we are called to be, that we were created to be children of God, called to be in relationship with God. You put all this together, what do you have? What are the angels saying? What the angels are saying is this. The good news of great joy is that you were called to be in relationship with God, and because of this baby in the manger, it's going to happen again. Salvation is possible because of Jesus. The way he frees us from sin, the way he brings down the barrier between us and God, the way he puts back in our mind this vision of what it means to be a child of God. Amazing. The Old Testament passage that James read from Isaiah 61, fabulous passage. It talks about freedom, of course, from Babylon back to their place in Israel. It has sort of overtones of Egypt in the past. They're no longer slaves. They're no longer bound. They're no longer poor. They're people with hope. But it also hearkens to the future. And if you take a look at Luke chapter 4, verses 17, 18, 19, you see the same passage. It's a little bit different, but more or less the same. And yes, for those of you who are Lucan in their theology, there is a message of justice here. But it also talks about who we are inside. He says, I've come to bring good news for the poor. It is for the poor of the world there is good news. But there's also good news for those of us who are poor in spirit, to use the terminology of Matthew. That means that we're humble. We're like the prodigal son when he hit the pig pen. He's finally stripped off all his pride, and he sits down and says, I can't. I can't do this on my own. I'm trying so hard to be happy, and it's not happening. And in humility, finally, there is good news. And the good news is, of course, there's forgiveness and there's invitation to be a child. In Luke, it adds the phrase, recovery of sight for the blind. It's not in the Isaiah passage. And that's wonderful. There's a great story, a great parable in John chapter 9. That's a story, not a parable. It's a story of a person who's born blind. And it's a wonderful play with the image of vision and being blind. And what we see as we read that story is that people can be blind from power, can be blind by tradition, by fear, by ignorance. There's lots of reasons why people are blind. And as we read the story, the only person who can see in the story is the blind guy. He's the one who's able to see what Jesus is doing, and he finally does receive his sight as well. But we also, when we come to experience this baby in the manger, we're invited to see who we are, to see our sins, to see the forgiveness that God offers, to see the life that he places before us. And it goes on, and again, it sort of spins out this whole notion of salvation. That's the message of the shepherds to the angels. I've come to bring joy. God is inviting you back into relationship with him so that you can experience joy, the life, the good life that God intended. But it never ends with something simple, does it? It always goes further. This one spills over. We experience, first of all, a reconnection with God in salvation. But then something else happens. Our eyes start getting opened, and we begin to realize that we're invited to experience joy in our relationship with each other. That God, you've heard me say periodically, that the person next to you is God's best gift to you. Relationships are what is really important. Maybe the person two people away from you. That personal relationships are really, really important to us. Now, there's two sides here. One of them is our side. There are parts of relationships that we can do something about. Unless you're different than most people, there are relationships that you've given up on. There are relationships where the people annoy you, they've done something to hurt your feelings, you're going to hold a grudge, your family has always hated the Martins, and we're not going to be nice to them, whatever the case may be. We've chosen to put a wall up against these people. 1 John has some pretty strong words about that. He says, if you don't love the brother and sister beside you, don't even start to tell me you love God, because you don't. It becomes important that we take an honest look at ourselves and to say, why have we pushed that person away? Why have we alienated those people from our life? Why don't I want to talk to them anymore? And when we go to the family gathering, I take a look at where they are and I go to the other side. And I tell some good stories about them because, boy, do I have some. And the call for us, it comes on both sides, I guess, both in terms of, you know what, people, really, after God's what God has done for you, shouldn't we really be working at this? But the other side is what we want to focus on. People, you're missing out on a gift that God has for you. Work at your relationships. Put that back together. Now, I understand that there are some relationships which are toxic. There are some relationships which are just unhealthy. We're not talking about that. We're going to talk about that after Christmas. We're talking about normal relationships. The other side is that there are some relationships in which people have cut us off. There's not a lot you can do about that. It's really painful because we wish to be in relationship with them, and the people have sort of cut it off and said, I never want to talk to you again. Get lost. I hate you. Or even worse, they say nothing. They just walk out and that's it. So what do we do? Well, we need to look after ourselves. We need to be healthy, to be sure. But as I read the story of the prodigal son again, I wondered how many of the father's friends said to him, quit sitting on the lawn chair, looking down the driveway, waiting for your son. It's been 15 years. The guy's a loser. He's a bum. Forget him. Cut him off. And the father said, yeah, my son. And look at the beautiful way that the story ends. And so the comment that I'm trying to make is, and you know good and well, I'm talking to myself more than to you. The comment is, we need to remain open to those who have pushed away from us. There's lots of things going on, lots of reasons. We need to leave open the possibility that we can reconnect, that forgiveness can happen, that reconnection can happen, and that we can imagine a relationship with these people in which we are friends, just like we now imagine a relationship with God in which we are children. That's part of the message of the angel. I bring you good news of great joy. It's possible, folks. It's possible for us to deal with our pride and begin to embrace the people that we have pushed away and be open to the people who have pushed us away. The whole thing goes one step further, and that is that if our relationship with God is the basis for our joy, what would be ultimate joy? To be reconnected with God, right? And so we read the stories, the passages like John chapter 14, which says he's getting ready for us. Or we read passages like Revelation chapter 5 or chapter 7, where all the people, Mennonites and Baptists and Pentecostals and a few others, are all around the throne of God, singing and dancing. Mennonites just singing. Around the throne of God, celebrating, and we see a picture of incredible joy. That's where it aims. At the end of Revelation, actually in chapter 22, verse 20, it says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And the Greek term is Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. And within us as children of God, there grows a longing for that time. Now, we get so busy and playing with all the things we have, we don't get there. I have the privilege of sitting with people as their life begins to ebb often. And they have put away all the stuff that's not important. They've sorted out what's important and what's not. And then I hear people smile and say, "You know what? I'm going home." And you see this incredible smile. And once in a while, we're fortunate enough to see people as they die with this huge smile on their face. And you know they're seeing what we're not. Well, I mention this for a few reasons. One of them is we've had, just in the last couple of weeks, three people from our congregation go to experience their ultimate joy. And on the one side, it tears our heart out, because that means that we have to say goodbye. And remember, we're built for relationship. And so when we say goodbye, there's some tearing that happens, because there was something good that happened. And it's hard for us to be able to say, "Good for you," and celebrate as we weep. And that's what we do. But just to remind us that it's there, that there's a reality that God has placed there. And when we think about the concept of joy, that's where it leads us, to the place where we finally are reunited with God. The picture in Revelation 19, which I mentioned a few moments ago, is the wedding feast of the Lamb. That's where we're all around the table and we're saying, "Pass this and pass that." And it's just a huge celebration as we are celebrating Jesus and what he's done for us, the salvation that he brought, that the shepherds heard about. We're celebrating each other and we're celebrating true joy that happened. The other reason I bring that is that it's so easy to forget about that, even maybe especially at Christmas. We go off at Christmas time, and to sit there and say, "Oh, this is the celebration where the angels came to the shepherds with a message that God is going to bring them joy because they're going to reconnect with God, and the dream is of the parousia, the return of Christ." You don't hear that when you go to Kmart or whatever. It's not anywhere. I saw one ad the other day, and the title for that particular store is, "I want that." That's, I don't know if you noticed, that's different than the message of the shepherds. Guess what, shepherds, said the angels, "We came to bring you what you want." What do you want? New stereo? It's different than that, and it becomes so easy to lose track of the fact that Christmas is about true joy. Cuts through everything going on, all the struggles that we have within our lives. That's the message for us today. The angels come to us today and they say, hey people, I've got good news of great joy, and it's for each of you, all of you, for everyone. Today is born the Savior who's come to free you from your sins, to bring you back to God, to give you a vision of who you can be. Today, good news of great joy, a message of salvation. May God fill you with a sense of His presence and joy as you celebrate Christmas this year, focused on the Christ child.
Joy to the world. Let's join in the song of the angels. Number 318, 318 in your blue hymnals. Joy to the world. All four verses.
I'd like to invite you to stand, if you would like, for the benediction and for the last song. Would you stand, please? And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you as He did to the angels long ago and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and fill you with peace and joy.
Again, in your blue hymnals, number 197, 197. I'm hoping it's all right if we do all four verses. We've got time, I think. Why not? Now that you've just told everybody we're doing three. Okay, we're going to do all four. Angels we have heard on high.